So today, I'm going to try it, and I hope it works. I did it practicing it a couple times, and it worked, but I'm going to try to use my iPad for notes instead of actual paper. It's a stretch for me to use technology. I'm very glad that you guys have been able to join us today, and I'm excited to start this new series that we're doing. You are on day one, so whether you're traveling or whether you were here for the first time, or whether you've been here a bunch, you have no choice. You have to be if you're here another 7 weeks after this. I'm sorry. But I would like to start us out with a word of prayer, if we could. God, we thank you for this day. We thank you. Thank you for cooler weather. And I just pray that as you speak to us today, as you speak through me and that you would use me, that we would understand what it means to be peculiar in your loving way. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever known somebody that just creeped you out? It could be you could be creeping other people out, so that may be why, like, you don't get that yet. So just take note of that. But I had this guy one time. I used to sell cars. Sounds kind of funny, a pastor sell cars. But I used to sell cars, and in the car business, you get a lot of turnover, if you know what I mean. Like, you get people that come and they go. And I wasn't there long enough to have my own office. I had the privilege of sharing an office. And so as you shared an office with people, I remember... I forgot his name. Anyway, Chinese guy, shared it. He was awesome. We hung out all the time. And then he left, and this new dude came, and I'm from Arkansas in the United States, and I have a kindred spirit for other Arkansans, you know. And so this new guy came, and he was from Arkansas. I thought, all right, cool. He's a little short guy, got a beard, kind of scary looking, but nonetheless, I, you know, was a good guy, still am a good guy, try to be. And he came, and I was trying to be accepting of him. But as time went on, this guy got weirder and weirder and weirder. And so weird that he would do, I wish Petter Blaha was here, because he's always doing martial arts stuff. You remember? Like, this guy would always be like, well, let me show you how you kill this person. And he would just take this and, like, put your hand there, and it just got weird. And the point of this is that as time goes on, he brings, like, devices like nunchucks and, like, brass knuckles and knives. And then it escalated one day, and I opened the drawer, and there's a gun in my office, in the drawer. And I'm like, oh, this has gotten a little much. So I talk with my sales manager, and I'm like, this guy has got to go. I don't care how good he is. I cannot have, you know, and this is, you got to remember, in Tennessee and in Arkansas, both, guns is like an okay thing, right? I mean, but you don't want this type of person carrying a gun. I mean, there's a reason that there's laws that are in place, and we don't need to go into gun control. That's a whole other story. But the point being is he was peculiar. But his peculiarity, if that's a word, it was scary and repellent, and I didn't want to be near him. I mean, sometimes, you guys know what I'm talking about. There are those people that, like, have this grin, like, and it scares you. You know, this is the kind of peculiarness I'm talking about. On the other side of things, there are people in life that you are, like, drawn to because of their peacefulness. There's this, like, zen, if you will, about them, that everything is good with the world, and they love people, and they look after people, and they don't judge you. It's just awesome when you have a conversation, and you're spilling your guts, and you get it back, and they're like, they just accept you, right? And it's just a wonderful thing. And I could list off lots of different people in my life that I've experienced this with, but the end of the day is that they just cared for each other. The question I have for us today is this, is, are you the weird, freaky, peculiar? or the loving, attractive peculiarness. Because peculiar means weird, strange, kind of like separate. But I think the interesting note here is that if it's a good strange and it's so different that it's attractive, that's kind of what we're aiming for. Now, to expand a little bit more is that as we look at the good and beautiful community, we've done the good and beautiful God, the good and beautiful life, and now we're doing the good and beautiful community. And what I want us to think about in this world that we live in this city that we live in, or the people we interact with, how are you viewed? Are you, like for example, when the children are in here, you know, I think this is a good sign. Like, they're kind of all over the place, which is what we want. I mean, we don't want them wrecking, like, everything. But we want them to feel free and loved, you know? I've heard too many stories where people would go to church and they would have to sit perfectly where they are. When people come in off the street, and some of you I haven't even met before today. And so when you come here, I want, like, my goal is that when you come here, you feel like you know what's going on, you feel loved, and you feel accepted, regardless of whether you've been in church before, where you're at right now in life, who you are, any of that stuff. But are we that way, is the question. The other is, how do we interact with each other here in terms of community? Are we sassy with each other? Do we backtalk? Do we gossip? Or do we support each other in love and kindness and grace and the spirits? I want to read again this passage from 1 John, if you could put it up there for me. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son in the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son in an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. So why is it important for us to be peculiar? I always like to ask the questions why. Eli has learned that question really well, my son. But it's a good place for us to start. Why is it really important for us to be peculiar? A peculiarness that is loving, that is caring, that is different than what really the world would encourage us to be. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a theologian, professor, pastor during the Nazi regime. And I'm not a historian, so if I mess some of this up, I apologize, those of you. But listen to the overall point. We were doing a Bible study with him last year, and when we did this Bible study, it was fascinating to me, just like his lifestyle. He was a peculiar dude in a good way. And so peculiar that professors and people he was going to go teach in the United States during the war. I mean, it sounds kind of like a logical thing to do, right? Get away from the war, get away from the violence. And on his boat ride, as he, I'm sure, is very spiritual and did all this stuff, and in his time with God, he got this overwhelming feeling that, like, I don't belong in the United States. I can't leave my people. I have to go back. And so immediately when he hit shore, all these people were trying to convince him, no, you're a great professor. You can do so many things. Your mind is so wonderful. Don't waste it. If you go back, you could die. And he said, I got to go. My people have to know the love of Jesus. And if I'm here running from war, where does my faith stand? So he went back. And those of you that know him or have heard of him, let me give you a review. This guy was part of taking down Hitler. This guy did some incredibly courageous things. And this guy lost his life because of it. Now, the important thing is not that he lost his life, but how he lost his life. And hear this from a guy who watched him before his death. I don't even know how to say, I should get you to read this because I'm sure it's German, but it's Eberhard Bethge. He's a student and a friend of Bonhoeffer's. And he writes of a man who saw the execution. This is from the person who saw it. I saw Pastor Bonhoeffer kneeling on the floor, praying fervently to God. I was most deeply moved by the way this lovable man prayed. So devout and so certain that God heard his prayer before he's going to be executed. At the place of execution, he again said a short prayer and then climbed the few steps to the gallows. Brave and composed, his death ensued after a few seconds. In the almost 50 years that I worked as a doctor, this person says, I have hardly ever seen a man die so entirely submissive to the will of God. Why is it important for the church to be peculiar, is the question. I think it's important for the church to be peculiar because without peculiar love, even more Jews would have been slaughtered. I think it's important for us to have this peculiar love because without it, women that have been abused, that have been thrown under the bus, so to speak, that have just been annihilated, would continue down this path. Starvation. Starvation would be a fact of life rather than a hope of an end. Human trafficking, rape, murder, violence, racism, inequalities of any kind would be still going on at an incredible rate. Now, I know what you're thinking in your head, or at least I hope you're thinking this. Well, John, that stuff still goes on. And you're right. So again, let's ask this little question, this little three-letter word, why? Why is it that this continues to go on, even though it is improving ever so slightly? Now, this is where it's going to hit you, or it should. It's because we have been well adjusted to this, to injustice, to greed, to materialism, and to racism. What I mean by that is if it don't affect me, who gives a darn, if you will? Who cares? If it doesn't affect me directly, who cares? And at the end of the day, we think in our head, gosh, you know, I mean, those of us especially that have been raised in a very fundamental southern area, they go, well, Jesus is just going to take care of it eventually anyway. So it doesn't really matter. Am I right? So sometimes we don't want to deal with it. Other times we think it's impossible. But what about this? What's the question of this? Listen to this part. If that is our attitude, where is our hope? Why did Jesus come and die on a cross, be buried, and conquer death? If that's true, why is it that we believe that way, or that some believe that way? I want to read verse 12 again, if you could put that up. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. There should be something peculiar about us. There should be something peculiar about those of us that claim to love God and know God. But you know what's fascinating to me, this is just really fascinating, this is just a personal reflection, is that when I hear stories like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and I hear stories of people where they have just gone to incredible lengths to show God's love with others, it moves me in ways that I can't even describe. I mean, I showed a clip of the guy, the Seventh-day Adventist guy that was in the war that didn't pick up a gun. You know, he went and rescued all these people. It moved me. Did it move you? I wonder what it would be like to be that person. I wonder what it would be like to know God's love so deeply that you're willing to do such dramatic, extensive, whatever words I can think of, like crazy things. What would it be like? I wonder what it would be like. Now, hear this. I'm not saying that we should all be in this perfect place and that we need to go, like, set ourselves on fire or something and, you know, do all this stuff. I mean, maybe at some point God's calling you to that. But the point of this is not such drastic things. The point is, what would it be like to be that kind of peculiarness? What would it be like to have the sensation and the feeling to be attracting others in a way that this world doesn't know how to attract? What if we became a peculiar kind of love or loving people that the unlovable would be lovable again? What if, I don't know, injustice and racism were put to an end because we believed so much in the hope of Jesus that it changed and transformed our lives? What if evil could truly become overcome? What if our materialism was gone and hunger was ended? What if we could drop all the stuff that we feel like we have to have and could put it towards a solution? What could peculiar love do for God's kingdom here and now on this earth? Verse 9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, I've said a lot of stuff and I've put things in perspective, I think, but what I don't want us to hear is I don't want us to hear that it's a legalistic, we got to go conquer the world on our own. Okay? I don't want you to think social justice, we got to do this, we got to do that on our own, like on our own. Keep in mind, on our own. Because see, the part that we're going to talk about next week is, where do we actually grab into this kind of hope? Where is it that, like, God can really move and change in our lives? Because we can't do it on our own. We have to do it, one, together, as a community, but two, we have to be so deep-rooted in understanding what the hope of Jesus Christ really means, and that it's not just some long, faraway destination that ends when our life ends, or begins when our life ends. As N.T. Wright, he would say, it's life after death. It took me a while to figure that out. I'm still trying to work it, so you guys figure that out, but I think just the question again that I want to ask us is, as a community, as people, are we going to be the person that looks at somebody with a weird smile and they run away? Yeah. Are we going to be that church that is so perfect, hence the imperfect people outside? Are we going to be a church that is so worried about everything being exactly right that it makes everybody else feel exactly wrong? Or are we going to be a church and a community of people that are peculiar in the way that we act with one another, that's different, that's generous, that's life-changing, that's loving, that's non-judgmental, that's accepting, and most importantly, that has a hope that Jesus is really with us, that can really change us. So I'll end there, but we're going to talk about that next week. And I really know that some of you guys probably are traveling, you can't make it back. But for those of you, if you want to tune in, you can look, you can sign up for the newsletter, and you can look at stuff like that. We'll have it on audio or on video. So, those of you that have joined us before with our good and beautiful stuff, you know that there's what? Homework. There's soul training, right? And this week is no different. This week, we're going to call it, the guy calls it in the book, the 2-4 split, okay? Sounds like a football thing or some kind of like basketball, I don't know. But the 2-4 split is this, is that we have 2 hours with God, and we have 4 different things that we do that are peculiar this week. Meaning, and I'll send this to you in email, hence why it was important for you to copy that if you want it. But we're going to find ways, I've got a list of ways of how you can connect with God. Okay? You're going to do those for 2 hours. I know it may seem like a lot, but I promise it'll work out and everything will be okay. Like, God will appreciate it. It'll be good. If you don't get legalistic and be like, I got to get 3 more minutes in. You know, I don't want you doing that. All right? But then to keep it balanced, we're going to do these peculiar things. Think about in your life. Think about with the people that you're in community with. What would be strange but attractive? I don't want you doing strange things that people are like calling the police on you, okay? But what would be strange? What would be so peculiar and loving that it would make people go, huh, that's cool? So that is the homework. That is what we're going to look and strive to do. And we will talk more about that in small group as well. And I'll have more questions for that.